Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie, and I'm excited to have you here with us today for the beauty and freedom you can find in identity. Our guest today is Jody Hoffman, and you are in for an amazing treat right now. I'm so excited because we're going to be talking about the beauty of the Trinity and your position in Christ, as well as the joy of remaining childlike, experiencing God as your loving Father. We're going to talk about how to step into the freedom Christ offers without fear of getting in big trouble with God, why God calls us to pray without ceasing, and how to invite Him into every breath, as well as the two questions you can always ask God for immediate assistance. Jody Hoffman, our guest today, is known as the restorer of beauty. She combines her heart for people with her eye as an interior designer to help us see ourselves and God in a more lovely way. She's been influential in starting 8 churches and has done missions work in 40 countries. Her passion is to help people understand their true identity from God so they'll realize who they are, all they have, and what they are uniquely called to do. You can learn more about her over at identityexchange.com/coaching. Welcome to you, Jody. So excited to have you here. Woohoo!
So excited to be here. Yay.
Yay. And it was through the identity coaching that I met you, and you blew my mind. I was so excited to hear what God has been pouring into and through your life. And you've walked with God through some highs and through some serious lows. Yeah. And you have just held on tight, and He's been so faithful, and your life is just beautiful.
I feel like it's really beautiful. I'm so blessed. I'm just really grateful.
Yeah. You have had a recent, not too long ago, a recent huge loss. Your husband of how many years?
44.
44 years. And you are now without him.
Yeah.
But still safe in the arms of Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things you talked to me about when we were sharing together was how you had felt so alone.
Yeah. I'm incredibly alone. Like you had always like, kind of like navigating your neighborhood, and you know where you're going to turn by the familiarity of the landmarks. Yeah. And when he passed, it felt like there was an earthquake and everything was gone and my landmarks were gone. Mm. And so you don't know how to navigate because they were always part of that. So it's been a really deep, deep, difficult time. But I'm so thankful that I had been trained years earlier in how to hear from God.
Yeah.
Because in hearing from God, like slowly the landmarks rebuilt. And they were the landmarks that won't ever move.
Yeah.
And you realize that too much of our identity and maybe even our relationships are built on people more than you know. And then they're gone.
Right.
You're left with, okay, what is still standing and what is immovable even through an earthquake?
So many of our listeners have gone through a deep loss like what you have. Others of us have not had that exact experience. Of course, nobody had your exact experience, but even a loss that close and that deep. But most of us can understand the thought of coming to a moment where we think, who am I and what am I supposed to do now? I thought I knew.
Yeah. And I was happily where I was.
Yes.
Harder part of it was that I liked my identity.
Yes.
But
yes.
I saw myself as the pastor's wife.
Yes.
And then there was no pastor.
Right. And then no longer a wife. And so now
no
what?
Longer a wife.
Yeah. Right.
And I can kind of think in our generation, it was kind of some bad teaching maybe that we were to be so enmeshed with our husband and that our identity and his identity, like we just were the add-on to him and not so much our own person. And so I'm really thankful for teaching now that has kind of fixed that for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought I was doing a really good job at just being his
wife. You know what? And I'm sure that you were. And I'm sure that God was using all of that all the whole time. And I think for all of us listening, you can't know what you don't know. You can't be farther along the journey than you are.
Yeah.
God is using your best effort today. I mean, he's just like that. And yeah. I always just think, you know, a two-year-old can't learn how to drive, and right. you can't be farther along than you are. Yeah. So no yeah. guilt, no shame in yeah. anything. Just like one of the things that was so profoundly impactful to me speaking with you, was the clarity of your identity now so clear because of, as a result of you pressing in harder to God because of your loss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of walking with Christ is no matter what you have lost, no matter what feels hopeless.
And some of that loss actually started all the way in my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a while, my husband was that part of that beautiful restoration.
Yes.
But all now that he's gone and you have
yes
back to figure out,
right,
I see even more right. of the beauty.
Wow.
And I have been able to heal in that, the beauty of the Trinity.
Wow. Yeah. So let's talk about that for just a moment. One of the things that you and I talked about, I'm going to actually put this up here. So one of the things you and I talked about is the beauty of Trinity, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit are all one, and yet they are uniquely different in their roles. And when I talk to people about Trinity, sometimes I like to use the analogy of water. So water can be an ice, it can be liquid, or it can be gas. Mm-hmm. It's all water.
Right.
Or we talk about an egg. One egg can be shell, can be yolk, or can be white. One egg, right? Mm-hmm. So when we think about Trinity, we have three very unique and different persons in the Trinity who are inviting us in to their family, who are inviting us to participate with them, which is just the most profound thought ever.
Amazing. Yeah.
Amazing. And when we talk about Trinity, you have this, if this isn't your picture, this is the one that I did after we talked together, but, this one, has the little Trinity, triangle in the middle here. And I know when we were talking, I used to feel like I couldn't really be in the middle of that triangle because, you know, I didn't want to be that big of a part, you know, they're big and I shouldn't be like right in the middle of that triangle.
Yeah.
But when you see that they are eternal, they're huge. There's no worries about me being in the middle of their triangle.
No,
that's where they're inviting us, right into the center.
Not only do I think we were invited there, but I think that's where we were really created.
Yeah.
I think it was in the love of the Trinity that they decided that we were to be born.
Yeah.
And so I think it wasn't the idea of our moms and dads. I think it was actually the idea of the Trinity.
Yes.
In that. And I love that you had said that it was family, because just like ice can have those three and an egg can have those three parts.
Right.
A family has a father, a mother and children, siblings, a son.
Right.
So that's where I began to think, if we were made in his image and family was his idea, then must be something related to that. And then I just feel like really the Holy Spirit gave me things that just comforted me so much, because my identity was so lost in that. And I was not in a secure place in that middle.
Right. One of the things that you said to me during our conversation was that Yahweh actually means breath.
So when the scribes were translating scripture, they did YHWH, no vowels. And it's actually just that sound of, so YHWH is what they selected for their sound.
So and amazing. So
I love that the very first breath that we breathe, we are actually just breathing in his name and declaring him.
Yeah.
The very last breath that you either experience or you watch is his name on their lips. And then when you're done with that breath, you're face to face.
So amazing. Love it's it. Just so beautiful.
Well, it's so comforting if you've lost somebody.
Yes.
As well, that they're right there.
It's just a breath.
It's just a breath.
It's a breath. Breath away. I love that. We could talk about this forever, but I do want to move on. And we're going to talk about being childlike and experiencing God as a loving father. I just want to tell you that I just had the most amazing dad in the world. He was such a loving father. And one day I was comparing my dad with God. I was talking to God and how much I loved God and that he was like my dad. And God was a little corrective right there in that moment. He's like, Marnie, I know your dad was great, but I'm way better than your dad. Way. Your dad was like me in certain ways, but he was still a human. I mean, I'm way better. And I have a hard time to even fathom that. My dad, as I was an adult, Jody, my dad would say, come sit on my lap.
Aww.
I know. He was just like this amazing, amazing, aww, amazing daddy. Aww. And I remember as a teenager, being 14 or 15, I can't remember. And he had me come sit on his lap. And he said, sweetheart, I want you to know that, you know, you're going to be making choices now. And sometime you might make a choice that leads you into a place where you're scared and you're in over your head. And he said, even sweetheart, I pray that this doesn't happen for you. But even sweetheart, if you would find yourself pregnant or if you would find yourself in trouble of any kind, he said, I want to be the first one you come to.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
That's a loving father.
That's a father.
Who knows you're going to make a mess and says, come to me first.
Yes. I've watched my husband.
Yes.
Father that way.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful. And it's so beautiful to hear or see. And you just, it's like breathtaking to hear that because that's not what everybody experiences.
No, no. So many of you listening, you either had a really tough dad or you had an absentee dad.
Yeah.
And it's hard for you to fathom a father who could be so loving that you could trust him. But I am just telling you, my dad was so trustworthy and God is way bigger than him.
Way.
Yeah. Yeah. Speak to us about this loving father.
Well, I didn't get to experience that.
Yeah.
And in what I did experience, I didn't know at the time what I was experiencing or that that wasn't normal. And yet I knew deep inside, this isn't right and this isn't normal. Yeah. And I think it was in watching other people being fathered, and I had pictures of that, fortunately, but not of my father. So we didn't know until my dad died that my dad had Asperger.
Mm.
And so they had no, like, he was just
disconnected.
A book, but empty pages or something. Right. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
But when I was in the room with him for hours or traveling with him, he didn't talk to me.
Yeah.
And so my reaction, you make up a story when you don't know the truth.
Yes.
And the story that I made up was that I wasn't enough to want to be known.
Wow.
And I wasn't enough to want to be heard or seen. Yeah. And so it just was heartbreaking that not even your dad would want to know you. So it's kind of the opposite and it leaves you. And I'm so amazed with you. And it so fits with the story of your father that you would have such courage to go do things that other people just go, oh, I don't know, scary. But you had the love that gave you that freedom.
Right.
And so I had the loss, and yet I couldn't figure out that the loss was really loss because I had a father. So I wasn't an orphan, and yet I really felt orphaned.
Right.
And then I had this picture of this
Trinity
of God being Father, Jesus in your little diagram, that Jesus being the Son and Holy Spirit being
in the role of Mother, right?
Actually, it was just an it in my life, my whole growing up, and my whole church life was only called the Holy Spirit and it.
Right. Yeah.
But then when I was looking at it as a family, it made more sense that Holy Spirit would be Mother. And that the mother role of God is so beautiful.
And so full. Throughout scripture, right?
Oh, it is. And yeah. And when you identify it, it's just this, oh, that's so beautiful and comforting.
Yeah, right.
I really experienced it after my husband's death, but I knew about it before.
Yeah.
But there is a word that the Bible uses that we're the fatherless.
Yeah.
And I could understand that I was fathered less, not just fatherless, like not existent, but just less than
fathered
God meant for father people to be fathered. And I think so many people can identify with fatherlessness.
Right.
And then I asked God if he would re-father me. Like, oh, I am so loving to be fathered by a perfect father, a full father.
Yes, yes.
And so in my picture and that diagram that you had, I had like holes in my father.
In the area where that dad part was.
I just had a bunch of holes. Like you would have Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
Right. And my dad had more holes than he had cheese. And so it was I just always felt like such a less than person.
Yes.
If you were having a line across, I always felt like everybody else was on this line and I was sub.
Way down there.
And it just hurt so bad because I didn't have enough. Yeah. I didn't get that fathering. So that would have been bad enough. But then my brother and sister, that beautiful part of Jesus being son and brother.
Yeah. Amazing.
Do you want to stop before I go that far?
Yeah, I think we have to keep going. But honestly, what you were going to say here, I know, is that God also is filling in that brother-sister relationship, also filling in the holes in the mother relationship.
Yes.
Like creating this whole beautifully rounded family that we didn't have.
That's exactly it. So I think of it actually as my pickleball has all those holes in it. And if you were to keep a kernel of popcorn in the middle of your pickleball, every time it moved, it would be out. And I lived on the outside of my family. I never felt like I belonged. I never felt like I was cared for or wanted or nurtured. And so I was always on that outside, left out. There goes my family. And here I am still over here, this little kernel of popcorn left. And so I went from having and experiencing all the H-O-L-E-S holes to asking God to re-family me and re-father, re-sibling, and re-mother me. And then it was that W-H.
To make you whole.
And as you become and feel the fullness of his love, because love transforms.
It does.
Information doesn't transform.
Right.
So that information might lead you to the understanding. So truth telling and then mind changing and then form change. So as I heard the truth, my mind began to change because I understand that I was secure and I wasn't going to fall into there. And then he's an amazing father, and Jesus is an amazing brother, and the Holy Spirit's perfect mother. Such an example for me to how to mother my kids.
Right.
And so then it became H-O-L-Y. So it went from holes to whole to holy.
Holy, wow. It's so amazing.
So good. I actually had a necklace made of it because it's so meaningful to me.
Beautiful.
That I just wear, that's my family.
Yeah.
I belong.
Yeah.
People don't have a sense of belonging always.
Right. So how you felt out here from your family, a lot of you listening can so relate to that. But more of you listening can relate to how you feel that way with God. Like you don't feel like you're in the center right there in the middle of God, the Godhead with God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. You don't feel like you're in the center, but it's just one breath away. You're right there. They're saying, come, come, come. We love you here. We love you here.
Yeah.
This is what they're calling us to be in the center. Safe, secure, surrounded.
Yeah.
By that
and you
love.
Know that verse that says that that we have everything we need
yes.
for life and godliness?
Yeah.
I didn't feel it out here in
right.
that
of course.
Hole.
Right.
But when I let myself and really believe and let
yes.
that mind change, let his mind be in me.
Yes.
That I am secure there. And anything I need, I have my father. Anything I need, I have the amazing brother, sibling. And anything I need, my mother's there. So I'm secure.
So
watch a little toddler with their family.
Yeah.
And they're just so happy-go-lucky because they have everything they need right there. In their family.
It is that childlikeness that we get to experience when we are in the center of the Trinity. It's so beautiful.
I love it.
I
have a little 2-year-old granddaughter. I have 10 grandchildren.
Yeah. Wow.
My 2-year-old granddaughter is, I've watched each one of them grow. My oldest grandson is 19
wow.
and in freshman at Georgia Tech. And I'm just so excited for him. But I have just watched them grow and watched them experience the love of a father and a mother. And it's just been so beautiful. And their lives are so different than what my life was.
Right.
And it has so many, my children's blessing to them is to it's been life-changing. And I'm
so
just
great.
So grateful.
Yes, yes. We want to talk to you a little bit about the freedom that Christ offers. Let's start with the fear that people have about God being a big bully and a big meanie and just watching for you to mess up so he can clobber you. Let's talk about that fear for a moment, because it's real. People have, it's a lie, but these people have this as a perspective.
Yeah. And I'm afraid that it comes from fatherhood wounds.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it does.
And brotherhood.
I was going to say, and sometimes leaders, and even pastors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of different relationships that leave us in that fear. And really, one of the things that you can ask God is what am I most afraid of?
Yeah.
And then not only what am I most afraid of, but when is the very first time that I experienced fear?
Mm.
And when you go back to experiencing that first fear, mm-hmm. you can ask God and let God, like, you can forgive the people that caused
yes.
that fear. And then it gives you incredible freedom.
Right.
And it gives you a better view of God, because often it's the things that made you afraid that have kind of grown up and mushroomed up bigger.
Hmm.
Can I tell a story that for a minute that we had gone to Lebanon and there's a city called Sidon, and it's right on the Mediterranean Sea. And along the Mediterranean Sea, it's beautiful, and Sidon would have this beautiful view. But years back, some Israelis died in Sidon, and because they hate each other, between Israelis and Muslims,
right.
The Muslims decided to, in order to shame those Israelis, they put a landfill, or they just started dumping trash, actually. And people liked the idea of putting the trash there to kind of go, like, we really didn't like what happened here.
Right.
Just a political protest kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not really saying good or bad.
Right. Just it's what happened.
And it was between the city and the Mediterranean. And there's this road that kind of like in California that goes along the Mediterranean. And before they knew it, the landfill got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon you couldn't see from Sidon out to the Mediterranean anymore. And then the wind would blow, and it would blow all this pollution and smell and disease into the city. And the water would wash up into the landfill and just drag out and pollute all the beaches along there. And so what they were, unforgiveness, fear,
retaliation,
all of that judgment, all of the stuff that goes along with that.
Wow, powerful.
Just grew up until it destroyed.
Ruined it all. Just ruined
and
it all.
And then like in 2013, they spent billions and billions and billions of dollars to get this land removed when it seemed like a really good way to handle it and show them that we were mad about this, right? But it really hurts you. So I think forgiveness is such a big part. And it's the air we breathe. It's that part of his name is just forgiveness.
Yeah.
So it's really, really beautiful.
What an amazing story, an analogy for us to have this in our heads, because that is what unforgiveness does. And that's why God says you have to forgive. It's not because he's a big meanie. It's because he knows that if you don't, it's going to hurt you. It hurts more and more, and it hurts more people as time goes
on. And the fear just kind of piles up.
Builds up. Yeah. So I love that. I love that. And just to call you guys to, if you don't know why you're so afraid of God, why you're so upset with him, there's some underlying fears and lies there. Work with somebody who you can trust to help you get to the bottom of that. What Jody and I know, and I'm just going to speak for myself, Jody, I'll let you come back for a moment. But what I know is, having done deep spiritual healing prayers with people, is that what happens is when God shows up in those memories that are sometimes when you are a tiny child, when God shows up in those memories and we just say, Jesus, what do you want us to know about this? What God does in that moment is God not only shows you what happened, but he shows you how he was protecting and providing for you there. He shows you also enough information so you know why the other person would possibly have done that to you, to the degree where you feel like forgiveness is the only logical response. Mm-hmm. Is that what you've experienced, Jody?
Absolutely.
It isn't a hardship to forgive when you understand.
No.
Yeah.
No, it actually becomes such a relief. Yeah. And you realize you've been carrying this heavy load.
Right.
But you've never known where to take it or what was even the load was.
Right. Exactly. But it's
like fear or anger or whatever the issue can show up. And it's kind of on a dashboard, and the emotions kind of come up and you overreact and you go like, what was that about?
Right.
And instead of just justifying it or blaming, ask God, what do you want me to know? Why did I react to this like that? And what is that?
We're going to jump right ahead to those two questions right now, because this is something that I learned from Jamie Winship. He's how I found you. And if you guys haven't followed him at all, he's been hidden from the world, over doing amazing work around the world for the last 30 years. And now he's in the States, and we're kind of just hearing some of these stories, these God miraculous, amazing stories. And his perspective has been so healing for so many of us in who Jesus is. But he has questions that he asks all the time. And he would ask these questions with Muslims, with Buddhists, with atheists, with whoever he's with, regardless of who they are, where they are, if they know Jesus, if they hate Jesus, whoever they are. He just asks these few questions. I'm going to say them my way, then maybe you can say them your way. So my questions that I ask frequently now throughout the day, in fact, I was just with someone who was melting down in front of me about something not related to me, but they were having a meltdown in front of me. And just in that moment, I just asked real quick, God, what do you want me to know about you right now? And what I heard was, I am love. And then what I said, and what do you want me to know about this right now? I love her so much. Love her. It was instant response. This is James 1. If you ask for wisdom with a heart to receive it, he will respond.
He does. I met Jamie and Donna back in 2005, and it has been one of the best information download walks, journey. I respect them both so much.
Yeah.
And they've lived with us, but we've traveled together. Stayed with them for weeks at a time. This is genuine real. Like this
is real.
Not just big stories and something flash in the pan and want to get known sort of thing. This is like transformational, amazing information.
Yeah.
that changes lives. And I really don't know what I would have done not knowing this, having gone through my husband's death.
Yeah.
Because I just think it was just too much. It's just too much.
I think they're, the thing that allows them to come with this kind of a depth of a level of understanding of the goodness of God, the love of God, is the intense fire in which they lived for 27 years. They literally lived in countries where we, America, were bombing the country they lived in as civilians without military protection among neighbors who were being killed by bombs at night from our country. And the life and death situations they found themselves in, just on and on and on. They had to. They actually, in order to survive mentally, spiritually, and physically, they really had to stay just in moment by moment connection with the love of God. And they did. And then they come back and they teach us how to do this at a whole new level.
But it started when they were, even before they went.
Yeah.
It started in Washington, D.C. It started when Jamie was
a police officer. And
So
what are the two questions that you ask God all the time?
So, God, what do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do or say?
Right
here, like all of those. Yeah. But it's so many good questions. There's like, he loves questions. Because it's a chance for him to reveal. And I think he's always seeking how to take our distorted views and change them into the beauty of who he is.
Yeah.
Which is why I love the restorer of beauty, is because it is not making beauty. I can't make beauty.
Right.
I just get to show people God. And he restores their beauty. And he's amazing at it. Like,
right.
Yes. So I love those questions, and I love that you can ask, like, whatever it is, while you're washing dishes, God, what do you want me to know?
Yeah.
And he downloads stuff and prepares you and goes before you, and, like.
I'm one of those people who, over the years, if I have not known what to do in a situation, and I have been praying about it, and I've been asking, I will just, if I'm at the deadline, I will just grab my Bible, and I will say, speak truth to me, and I will just open it up wherever and put my finger down, read that verse. And he has consistently, over the years, shown me truth in those moments. What I always say is that if you're just playing a game, don't expect him to play. He's very fun and he's very loving, but he is not a game player. He is not going to tolerate your snarky, why is this happening to me questions. We see from Job, he answers Job that he's bigger and he's going to take care of him, but he does not say, I'm going to just answer every little, self-pitying question that you brought to me. He's not into that, but boy, is he into
wise happiness. Wise are not the best question.
They aren't. Yeah.
Like, who do you want me to?
What do you want me to know? Right. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to think about this?
Yeah.
And they're questions that we come to him in faith asking, in faith believing. And that's what it talks about in James. Mm-hmm. If we come to him and we're like, I doubt if he'll even answer this question, because I don't even know why you're doing this to me right now. Guess what? He's probably not going to. But if you come to him, like you're in a situation, a story from Jamie, they're in their car. They come around a corner. There's a mob coming at them wanting to kill somebody. And their little kid in the back seat says, what should we do? And Jamie just said out loud, just pray that we'll be invisible. So then their kids in the back seat are little boys. They're jumping around like, let's be invisible. And as a parent, you would say, sit still, be quiet, don't move, right? But it doesn't matter to God. It doesn't matter to God.
It doesn't matter.
Still, if you're jumping around. He made them invisible. That mob just went right around them as if they didn't exist.
It's amazing to me. And God doesn't work the same in every,
no,
like in everybody's life,
no,
throughout the Bible. He was always, like, I love that he's with us. So one of my favorite parts are with.
Yes.
And if we're with him and we recognize that he's with us, like if a child has a nightmare, or if you're afraid, if you know that somebody bigger is with you, then like there's peace, but it's not only about that he's with us. Then when he's with us, then I think we get to ask him, who do you want to be with me to be with today? And what do you want me to know about them? So I love that it's the with, the what, and the who. Like when you're with somebody, I think the why and the what of what you want me to do will come up. Yeah. So it kind of just frees you to go do whatever.
Yeah, right.
God's going to be with you. And while you're with, you ask what, and then he gives you the what, and it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's a really fun adventure.
It is. It is so much fun. And it is so childlike and playful and just freeing to know that I don't have to know all this stuff, and that when I need to know it, he's going to help me. And it isn't. And I always say the person I don't see in the Bible is the one who lays in bed all the day and says, thanks God for doing this day for me while I lay here in my bed. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. We do have a part to play here. And God is so merciful that he wants to flow his love and life through us to everybody we meet. I mean, it's so profound. And having said that, it's almost like you get to lay in bed all day because it's so much more fun. Right? It would be, we're not robots at all. God flows through you differently than he flows through me.
Yeah. But we're also not used by God. Like I hate to pray being used, because I think about how much I love my grandchildren.
Yes.
And I don't think, oh boy, when they come, I'm going to have them move the rocks and do the this and do the that. And I don't wait for them to come so I can use them.
Right. No.
I think it's just relationship. A misunderstanding about God.
Exactly.
When my grandchildren come, it's just such delight. It's like, yay, let's play. Let's have fun. No. Let's play a game. Let's do something.
Right.
He likes just being with us.
He does. He loves
it. And it's so much more fun than, what do I have to do today?
Right. You know, what is he going to
make me do?
Right. He's this big bully. Yeah.
I've been around Jamie and Donna enough through a lot of their stories and some of the traveling in Middle East countries with them and my husband. Yeah. And it wasn't a big pity party of, we're just sticking it out for God in the Middle East. You know, like they had a wonderful time. And if you talk to their boys, they had a wonderful time.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's definitely supernatural. And that's the kind of life I want to live. That's the kind we want you guys to live, is this supernatural life, a life that you could never possibly even imagine living. But when you come, when you say, yes, I want to be part of this family of God, you know, and they're just right there. There is no thought on their part. You're part of it already. Just come on.
Come on, you belong.
Be part. You belong.
You're right here. You're with us. You don't have to worry about all the rest of this.
Yes, that's right.
And it's such a difference. It's such an identity exchange from being that little kernel
on the outside.
Yeah, on the outside and not belonging, not wanted, not seen, not heard, not to being, you're mine. You're part of me. You're my beloved daughter. Like when God says to Jesus at the baptism, his first thing that he says to him, you are my son, my beloved son, my chosen one in whom I delight.
Yes.
And I just think after he understands his sonship, which he hears from God and everybody else hears it too. But then after that, he hears and shares his identity that he's the door and he's a shepherd and he's
the way, the life,
all kinds of identities. Yeah. Come. Once you know you're secure in that, I belong, I'm in that family. Nothing can separate us.
Yeah.
I can never be pulled out of that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Praise God.
I think we've just had some really bad images and teaching that made us think that God was going to turn his back on us because of our sin. And the truth is, instead of turning our back, he seeks around and he peeks around to the other side. Yeah. When we turn around, he comes around the other side and he's like, hello, still here.
Still here. Are you ready? Are you ready to come on? Yeah.
We just think that when he turned away, then there's this big chasm.
Yeah.
No. He just came around and found us, and he doesn't leave us. nothing separates us.
I just say it's one breath away, one prayer away. He's right here. He's right with you wherever you are. Whatever you are going through, he is right there with you. I want to circle back just to the top of this conversation. You talked about, because of your family of origin, you talked about everybody else was at this level, but you were always down here. And I had a different picture of that. I had a picture of me being on this level, but sometimes I would be up, sometimes I would be down. But I would come back kind of to the middle level. And I remember reading Steve Vai, I think his name is, a book years ago called Grace Walk. And he had a diagram in there. And he had that diagram of us going up and down. You know, sometimes we're down, sometimes we're up, sometimes we're stable, whatever. And he said, what we have this mental picture of is that when we're down, God's down. When we're up, God's up. And when we're stable, God's stable. But the reality is God is always stable. God is always right here, right on the line. And he, just because you have experienced some terrible things does not make him a terrible God.
No.
And just because you've experienced some highs does not mean that he is going to come down off of a high pretty soon and you're going to have to face reality with him. He is so stable, and his stable is always higher than we can even fathom. Yeah. So
we don't have to tippy-toe around and think we're about to get the boot.
Yeah. Oh, it's,
I think,
so great.
One of the things that I saw in my level, and then that I was the whole, I have come to find out that God fills that hole and raises it up.
Continue
like
to raise.
Fill it with water. I sent Jamie and Donna one morning. I was thinking about the holes in my life that had been, and I realized that God fills all those holes. And then I sent him this picture of a tray of jelly donuts. And I just thought, and I said, have a jelly donut day, because I just thought, you know, a donut without a hole doesn't have any room for the jelly. And so I've come to actually love my holes.
Yeah.
Because I think they've been filled with jelly. And I think that where I have felt that hole in the terrain of my life, he filled it with water of his love and has made it a lake. And I think people like to live around lakes, and they, like, we enjoy water.
Right.
Nobody builds their home around a hole.
Yeah.
You know, but people love being around water. And
beautiful. And I'm thinking of the holes that Jesus has in his hands and in his feet for our sake.
Which made it possible.
And he loves his holes too.
Yeah.
He loves his holes too.
Yeah. And it's really his holes that we can bring our sin to.
Right.
And it says that by his stripes we're healed. He was wounded for us. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. So I celebrate the communion so much different than I used to, because I really have come to love the holes.
I love it. I could talk to you forever. I could talk to you forever. So fun. Well, we're talking about the best thing ever, so how could we not? But anyway, we have come to the end of our time here. I want to just thank you so much, Jody, for being here.
It has been really my pleasure and delight. And boy, I could really talk for hours. I do. We do.
Yeah, right.
I'm really bad about keeping to my 1 hour session.
That's great.
Let's keep going.
So you guys, if you want to learn more about Jody or coach with her, just go over to identityexchange.com/coaching. You're going to find her there, as well as some other wonderful coaches.
Yes. And I work for Jamie and Donna then. They're the ones that have the identity exchange company.
Yeah. There's also training over there for you guys that don't know anything about this. And even if you're just, if this is all just brand new to you, just Google Jamie Winship and listen to some of his podcasts. You'll just be, you'll be just blown away and delighted.
On YouTube, you just kind of get hooked. And the next
one, you
have another one.
Love it. Love it. Well, thank you, my dear, for being here.
Thank you so much, Marnie. What a pleasure.
And thanks, you guys, for joining. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And thanks, you guys, for joining us. It's so fun to have you along with us. Share this with your friends and listen to it again. So much good stuff here. God loves you so much. You are so, so important to him. He's the big, big, big God, but you are so important to him. However many children you have, or however many grandchildren you have, or even nieces and nephews, you know how each of them is unique. And how much you love each of them, and they're so special to you. And that's how God feels to you, except that it's like on steroids. We can't really quite fathom it. So check God out farther, step into him further, and be embraced by him. He loves you so much. We'll see you next time. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.